The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and he was in the house, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another, "Who was the greatest?" He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So take a look at the front of your bulletin. Isn't this a wonderful picture of Jesus with the child? Just absolutely delightful. Look at the joy on Jesus' face and the child putting probably his finger on Jesus' nose, the look on the child's face. I love this picture. I love it. Yet it stands in very sharp contrast to Jesus' announcement to his disciples, where he tells them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise." Now, this isn't the first time Jesus told his disciples about his upcoming death. We heard that reading a few weeks ago where Jesus told them that he was going to suffer and die. And Peter's response was, "No, Jesus." And what was Jesus' response to Peter? He rebuked him, saying, not just, "No, Peter, you got it wrong," but he says, "Get behind me, Satan." How about that? How did the disciples respond to Jesus this time? Exactly, they were silent, just like you. They were silent. They didn't say anything. They said nothing. They didn't understand. And they were afraid to ask any questions about it. And I kind of don't blame them, really. That's a rather confusing message that Jesus is telling them about him suffering and dying. They very much want this Jesus to be with them and to stay with them. Perhaps they were afraid to reveal their ignorance of not understanding. Or maybe they still very well remember that harsh rebuke to Peter and they don't want to be humiliated. It's interesting because throughout Mark's gospel, the disciples kind of stay at a pretty consistent level of their understanding or lack of it of who Jesus is and what he is about. What it means for them to be disciples and to follow Christ. It's partly because they were simply afraid to ask. They were afraid to ask Jesus, "Who are you and what are you about?" So instead of asking Jesus these questions that were probably going on in their minds, as they're walking down the road, they argue. And what are they arguing about? They're arguing about who is the greatest, who's the most important among them. How about that? The burning question was not, how might we live out Jesus' mission in this world? But instead, they argued about, who is the greatest among us? And then when they reached their destination, Jesus asked them, "Hey, what were you guys talking about on the way here?" And they're silent because they're embarrassed. They don't want to admit what they had been arguing about. But we're told that Jesus knows what they were discussing. And he tries once again to teach them, to show them who he is and what he is about. That the reign of God totally reverses what greatness is really all about. True greatness is not about what you have. It's not about being above others, Jesus says, but to be the least and to be the servant of all. It's not about seeking power or prestige, fame and fortune. But to seek greatness is to welcome and care for others. And to show them what this meant, give them a visual image, Jesus picks up a child and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not just me, but the one who sent me." Now we may wonder why a child. Well, in any culture, we know that children are vulnerable. They're still very much learning and growing, kind of discovering who they are and what they are about. They're still in the process of becoming. And generally, they're not afraid to ask questions. Sometimes obvious questions, sometimes hard questions. They're dependent on others for their survival and their well-being. In the ancient world, their vulnerability was magnified by the fact that they had absolutely no legal rights, no legal protection. They had no status. It was truly the children are seen and not heard, but they were even rarely seen. We know that this is true in our time too. Children are vulnerable. They are affected disproportionately by things like homelessness and poverty and hunger, disease, war, domestic abuse. They rely on the mercy of those who are older than they so that they can grow and become who they are. Throughout his entire ministry, Jesus reached out with mercy to those who were most vulnerable. Time and time again, he associates with the last and the least in society, with those who had no status. The lepers, a bleeding woman, people possessed by raging demons that were so bad that they were literally outside the community. Tax collectors, people who were well-known sinners, those who were marginalized and discarded. This challenged all of the social norms of the day. And for living like this, for living a life of reaching out with forgiveness and welcome, Jesus is condemned by the religious authorities. They decide that Jesus is too dangerous. Who he is and what he is about is such a threat that he needs to be silenced. And not just silenced, but eliminated, killed. They could not tolerate that radical, forgiving, and merciful, welcoming grace of God that Jesus was about. Yet in spite of that, Jesus desperately wanted everyone to know about and to experience and understand the love of God. A love that obliterates what society says is great, based on things like status and wealth and achievement of those who have and those who have not. And instead, in God's reign, it is the least and the have-nots who are the greatest. But even his disciples didn't understand what that was really all about. And they were afraid to ask. They were afraid to ask because, I don't know, perhaps the cost of understanding was too great. The radical, welcoming, and merciful, forgiving love of God is risky business. It always has been. It always will be. Not only does it move us way outside our comfort zones, but it goes against the way that society says things are. It's hard work. Jesus reminds us it can even get a person killed. And yet, Jesus is always clear. He's always clear about who he is and what he is about. He says in welcoming someone, especially a vulnerable child, we welcome not only Christ, but the very presence of God. Because this is who God is. And this is what God is all about. Welcoming, loving, forgiving, and mercy. Because as we welcome others, we draw near to God and God draws near to us. Today, Jesus invites us to look honestly at our own lives, to ask ourselves, do I understand who Jesus is? Do I understand who I am as one of his disciples? And I suspect if you're anything like me, if we're honest, we may truly recognize that we are no better than the disciples in understanding or in living out the radical grace to which Christ calls us. Yet just as Jesus did not condemn his disciples, he doesn't condemn us either. Instead, he welcomes us into the forgiving love of God. He welcomes us into God's grace and shows us a better way to live. He reminds us who he is and what he is all about. What life is all about. That nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God. Not even death itself. Today, Jesus welcomes us to be embraced by him, like this child, in love and forgiveness. He reminds us again who we are and what we are truly about. He invites us again to be merciful, to love our neighbor, especially the most vulnerable among us. Amen.